The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. It is Tuesday. Really dynamic show for you today.
A super dynamic. You know why? Because I'm on it. That's why.
Nope, that's not what I was thinking.
Okay, that's probably true. Today, I want to tell you about a couple things coming up before we get to the podcast. First of all, the tour going on. Get your tickets at glenbeck.com/tour. That's going to be dynamic. I'm going to be there. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Oof. Ticket sales just went through the floor.
Wow, it's true. So glenbeck.com/tour is a place to go to get tickets to that. Also, we want to see you at November 17th at the Mercury One Ball. This is the thing that we do every year for the charity that pays for all the expenses. So when we say, hey, there's a big hurricane, we need to help people, 100% of the proceeds will go right to that thing.
That's what's made Mercury One so different, but we really need your support. You can just buy a lottery ticket or a raffle ticket. We're giving away a brand new Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yes.
And we gave away a truck last year. This time it's a Mercedes, and you can grab a raffle ticket, limited number available. You can do that now at mercuryone.org/M1Ball. If you want to come to Dallas, I'm opening up the studios at night for this ball. It's the weekend, I think, before Thanksgiving.
November 17th.
And it's really, the studio is magical at night. I don't think we've ever opened it up to the public at night. And it's really cool. And there's going to be a big ball and lots of fun and some celebrities there as well. I think Chuck Norris is there every year.
Yeah,
so you can hobnob with us.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah,
by the way, you don't have to be there to win the Mercedes.
Yes.
Tell you that, know that as well.
Mercury1.org/M1Ball. And if you want to go to the tour, you can get those at glenbeck.com/tour.
So we did a lot on the caravan today, which is making its way up to the border. Kind of the big story, I guess, right now, and really bizarre how it's being handled. What happens if it does make it all the way to the border? That's fascinating.
Also had Greg Abbott. He's the greatest governor in the country. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, joined us. He talked a little bit about the Trump event that happened in Houston and why conservatives should not take that necessarily as a good sign. Oh, Cruz and the Republicans are all doing great. The numbers of the election, which he talks about a little bit and Stu has with election by the numbers, are a little concerning when it comes to Texas. The voting is off the charts. Historic voting numbers already in Texas. And the only ones we see are the very blue counties. And they are presidential election style numbers.
And we should also point out there's a really serious warning. If you are a woman or you know a woman, someone important to you, if you're not wearing a headscarf or a cloth device, there's some serious warnings coming from the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, let's just say gin. You're going to need some, and you're going to have to worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
Gins. We'll talk about that. Also, real quick, just a setup on something we're confused about. The difference between gender and sex. I think they've changed it again. All on the podcast today.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. Tuesday, October 23rd.
Our sponsor this half hour, we're going to start it with
Brick House.
Yes, that's how you remember it. Brick House, yes. Nutrition. It's basically your hall pass to get away from broccoli.
She's my tomato.
45 seconds.
You can get all of your vegetables that you need without having to deal with actually eating vegetables.
Okay, so I'm actually doing this. I'm drinking it every day, and I'm fine. It's good.
Yeah.
But then my wife put broccoli on my plate last night. And
no,
I'm like, I don't need this.
There's no excuse for that.
No. There's no excuse. I don't need to eat this crap anymore.
Right.
Taking Field of Greens.
Field of Greens. Get you all the nutrients you need from your vegetables. Go to BrickHouseGlenn.com. Use promo code Glenn. You get 15% off your first order.
Let it all hang out.
BrickHouseGlenn.com. BrickHouseGlenn.com. And the promo code is Glenn. Check it out. And I think you're going to like it. They also have Dawn to Dusk as well that you'll like.
I did not eat my broccoli last night because I didn't need it. I had Field of Greens.
There you go.
It's yours now.
Glenn Beck.
Okay, I want to make sure everybody understands I'm air quoting when I say the migrant caravan that started off in Honduras with about 2,000 people has now doubled to 5,000. And as of this morning, there are now just over 7,000 people making their way north to the U.S. border. The line of people, when they're not riding in the back of several mysteriously paid for trucks, stretches out for over a mile. Now, I air quoted migrant and caravan for a reason. It's not a caravan. When's the last time you saw more than 7,000 people marching towards another country's border and carrying their own flag? Answer, most of us would say never, unless you served in the military and you were invading. It's not a caravan. There is no other way to describe this than an invasion. As I have said before, this is a Honduran political stunt. It was organized by a leftist Marxist group, has ties to the former Marxist president who was exiled after a coup in 2009. These people never got over it, and they've been doing political stunts ever since to make the current right-wing government look bad. The organizers of this invasion have ties to the Castros in Cuba and Maduro in Venezuela. This stunt is designed for media fallout, and it is timed very specifically for maximum exposure. Early voting for the midterms has already begun. By the time they reach the U.S. border, you will only see two things on cable news: the election polls and the status at the border. So what do we do? If the caravan is stopped in Mexico, this could help the GOP come November 6th. What's a greater example of why we need stricter border policies or even a wall after seeing this play out? Mexican immigration officers were completely overwhelmed when the caravan first crossed into Mexico. They could only process about 600 people before the remaining 5,000 just pushed through. Some on land, some just waded across the water. If these invasion caravans are a new norm, what choice do you have other than to build a wall? But let's say the caravan does reach our border. Every single media camera will be pointed not at the migrants, but at the National Guard and the U.S. Border Patrol dressed in riot gear. Video will be rolling as tear gas clusters are fired at the waves of people attempting to cross. Pictures will be snapped of the people showing their rubber bullet bruises. It will be mass chaos. It will be exactly what we said a year ago will happen. It will be the Israeli-Palestinian border conflict here. None of them will be reporting on what the migrants are doing, but rather how we responded. You know who has to deal with this every single day? Israel. This is the same tactic employed by Hamas. They charge the Gaza-Israel border with thousands every single day. How does the Western media respond? By vilifying Israel every single time. That is what we can expect. Our government and Donald Trump needs to tell Mexico, if that caravan arrives at our border, you will receive zero aid. Zero. We will cut off all aid. You are to stop this in your country. It is not to hit our border. This is not our problem, nor our fight. Zero aid to Mexico if this hits our border. It is time we stand and make it very clear, crystal clear, not our problem, zero aid to Mexico. Now, let me ask you, when's the last time you saw 7,500 people amass with another flag to cross a border? I would say it would probably have to be if you were in the military crossing into Iraq from Kuwait. Now, do you remember the reason why we had to wait to go into Iraq? You just don't land and go. Because you need logistics. And the logistics of moving a crowd that size is a nightmare. Otherwise, it becomes a death march. Because people are going to get tired. They're going to fall. They're going to be dehydrated. You don't stop at a 7-Eleven with 7,500 people to get some water. Where's just the water coming from? Where is the emergency aid for those who are fallen ill along the way? Where are they going to the bathroom? Have you ever gone to a McDonald's as you're traveling across the country and a tour bus has just pulled in and that has 50 people in and you're like, oh, geez. You ain't going to the bathroom there. If 7,500 people roll into town, where are all the bathrooms that they're using? Where are you stopping for food? Nobody's controlling logistics? Wow, media, this is truly spontaneous and a miracle. I'm expecting God to part the borders for them. Because God surely must be involved to keep them alive for this exodus away from Pharaoh. Unbelievable. We welcome to the program Mr. Pat Gray. Hello, Pat.
Wow, the hatred I just was a party to, just was deluged with.
This is, I know.
Wow.
What does the president do?
The only thing you can do is send the military. What are you supposed to do?
Aid. Cut it all off.
Well, yeah, you have
Tell
to cut
them
off
right
aid.
Now.
But if they
right
get
now.
Here, if they get here, the military's the only solution.
You can't let them in.
No way.
It's 7,500 people. So, look at they tried to handle it on the southern Mexico border.
Yeah.
They
and
couldn't.
They were
just
overwhelmed.
They just rushed it.
Yeah.
So if I could do my CNN impersonation briefly. Mm-hmm. So what you're asking for is them to just start shooting and killing all the people? Because that's what they're saying.
No, riot police with tear gas. And yes, if you have to, rubber bullets. Yes.
Sometimes those hurt.
I know. They'll bruise people.
The welts,
and you know what?
Bruises.
Some people might die. Some people might die. Don't come here.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it.
Okay, we have, let's just say this. We have 7,500 people that want to release people out of our prisons. And so they're just going to rush the gates, 7,500 people. What do the officers do? Do they try to fight them off? Does the criminal justice system send in more troops and try to fight those people from storming the gates and opening up our prisons? Well, we wouldn't want that. I mean, some people could get hurt. What are we talking about? Well, if there are 7,500 people and they want to go into a small town and rob every single restaurant, truck stop, bank, because there's 7,500 of them, and there's not enough police in these small towns? Mm-hmm. Are we just going to let them take all of the money? Or do we say, no, this is a mob. This is a group of 7,500 people who are stating they are going to break the law. And they've already done it. And they're just crossing in and overwhelming. We would never let anybody do that to any other thing. Why would we allow them into our country? We wouldn't let them into our towns just to take over our towns. We would never allow this to happen. Can you imagine? Have you seen just the waste and the garbage left behind?
Yeah, it's amazing.
They are just trashing everything along the way. What are we just supposed to put up with that too? You just come into our town and just trash it, and then we have to clean up the mess after you?
And the question not being asked enough is, why are there so many young men?
No. Those are
18 to 34-year-olds.
No. Those are
disguised
poor
women,
young women and children that are forced to look like
24-year-old men.
Yes.
Yeah. Who should be defending their own country?
Yeah.
Who should be making their neighborhoods better? who should be fighting for their own country.
Have you noticed how the media is just calling these guys migrants?
Yeah.
And not Marxist protesters? Because that's what this is. This is a Marxist protest. Their Marxist government, which was in bed with the Castros in Cuba and mm-hmm. Maduro in Venezuela, they were ousted in a coup because they were destroying the country. They were ousted.
Just as Maduro has done in Venezuela.
Correct.
Same thing.
So they were ousted. What happened? They get pissed off. They start coordinating with Maduro and Castro and the ousted president. They have been disrupting their own country. Now they want publicity. They want this to be a world stage. And so they started coming up towards America. They're not looking for jobs. They're not looking for a better life. This started as 3,000 people who wanted to make a Marxist point to embarrass their own country because they got rid of a Marxist dictator. We're fine with that? We're just fine with these people coming in. Really? What will they do if they did get jobs and decide to live here? What kind of philosophies are they bringing with them?
Oh, the media doesn't care about any of that.
No.
The Democrats don't care about any of that.
Of course not.
They don't care about these
because
people. They just want them here as voters. Already, they're sending out all these registration forms in Texas. The Democrats in Texas have sent out voter registration forms to illegals all over the state, inviting them. They've already filled out the citizenship box, pushed yes, they checked yes, and sent this out to non-residents all over the state.
We have the governor
to increase their power base.
We have the governor of the state coming on in just a minute. We have Greg Abbott coming on in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about the massive rally for Ted Cruz and Donald Trump yesterday in Houston. It was unbelievable. And the massive turnout. But this is in Harris County, which is Houston, Dallas County, which is Dallas. Those are blue areas. And it's mm-hmm. a massive turnout, massive turnout. If the red parts of the state don't actually turn out, this state could be in big trouble because it is a massive turnout.
Is there any thought with the caravan of just learning from our friends to the south? And what we do is we just let people come in and we just kind of guide them until they get all the way to Canada. I mean, they're walking north. They never said necessarily they're stopping here. Canada's beautiful this kind of year, time of year. We just kind of walk on the side of the streets and just kind of direct them.
And we would, if this was going to Canada and they were protesting Canada, I think there would be a lot of people who said, just don't cause any trouble. Just let them go to Canada.
I'm sure a lot of people in Mexico are saying that.
It's not our problem. They just want to go to America. Just not our problem. Well, it is your problem. And if if Canada would say to us, you stop this or we're not going to trade with you. We zero aid. Like they give us any aid. Zero cheese, whatever it is. We're not giving you any of that. As a good neighbor, we would stop it. We need to be very clear. No aid for Mexico. None. Oh. I know the president said that about Honduras and Guatemala, and I hope he backs it up. Cut that aid off right now.
If Mexico withheld queso, I would just open the borders right now. I would just open them up.
Come
on
through.
Anybody you know, just come on in.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
We are thrilled to have great governor from the great state of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, on with us now. Hello, Governor. How are you, sir?
Glenn, I am doing terrific. How's it going?
Good. It's always good to talk to you. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, early voting. We're seeing this massive turnout in Houston and in Dallas. What does this tell you, and how's the turnout around the rest of the state?
Well, this may be frustrating because the true answer is too early to tell.
Right.
Here's what we don't know, and that is this a front running of what the overall vote total will be, or is it a massive wave vote? For your listeners, what we are seeing with regard to the turnout is smashing records, not just for midterm elections, which is what this is, but in many of these locations, the first day of voting exceeds the amount of votes that took place in the presidential election on the very first day. And so all we know is this, and that is a massive number of people are turning out to vote. We don't know if it's part Beto mania or if it's conservatives who are saying we are afraid of this caravan that's coming up here and we want to make sure we elect people who are going to do something to stop it. But here's all I can tell your audience, and that is if you care about the future of Texas, if you care about the future of America, you cannot sit on the sidelines this election year because there are other people out there who are casting votes who may be hostile to you and your values. Your values must be counted at the ballot box. If you're listening to this, you need to make sure you go vote because a lot of other people are going to vote.
So, Governor, a lot of times people have said, you know, this is the most important election of your life. And I was thinking about this last night. I've always hated that phrase. But in this particular case, we are now seeing the masks come off. Now we're seeing people who say, you know, no to capitalism, no to the Constitution. I'm a democratic socialist. This is a game-changing election, is it not?
Well, you captured the essence very correctly because it used to be here in Texas and maybe some other places that Democrats either ran under no label or they would call themselves a conservative Democrat, mm-hmm. and then they were a liberal, and then they were a progressive, and now they are openly listing themselves as socialist. And get this, because it's not just in Texas, the leading candidate for governor in Florida is an out-and-out. He says he is a socialist and in the Bernie Sanders style of socialism, if not even further to the left. And the same thing is happening with regard to governor's races and other key races across the entire United States of America. And even here in Texas, some people may not be calling themselves a socialist, but when you look at their policies, such as the open border policies, that is socialism. When you look at the wealth redistribution policies, that is socialism. And here's what these people don't realize, and that is socialism is real out there. We see it in Venezuela, where the reported inflation rate in Venezuela is over 1,000,000%. And so it's just crazy what's going on, and that is why your listeners need to understand that they have the power to make sure the state and this country remain on the right track by going to vote. Cast your vote.
I don't think people understand, conservatives understand, how close this state is to flipping blue. There's only a few counties that are really a linchpin here, and you know, unbeknownst to most people, Soros has dumped millions of dollars into this state for a long-term plan of turning us into California.
Well, you're right, and so many of your listeners need to understand this, and that is that George Soros has been involved in Texas elections for the past couple of cycles. 2 years ago, he gave $500,000 directly to a candidate in Harris County down in Houston. This year, he gave $1 million directly to a candidate in San Antonio. On top of that, he has funded these ground games to get out the vote, and so he is trying to turn Texas into California. And that's on top of all this money pouring in from California for candidates like Beto. But let's go back to the first part of your question. And listeners, think about this. All the large cities where the population bases are in the state of Texas are really blue cities and blue counties. You have Dallas, you have Houston, you have San Antonio, you have Austin, you have El Paso. And so you have these massive blue regions across the state of Texas. That makes it so much harder for people who are conservative, people who are Republican, to be able to cobble together the votes that are needed to make sure that we keep Texas the bastion of freedom, the bastion of liberty, and the bastion of conservatism. And so every vote counts, and we really need to get people excited and enthusiastic about this the same way they were last night when we were in Houston, Texas. I'm telling you what, people are fired up and they are ready, but we need people to go vote.
Tell me a little bit about the caravan. Is there, do we have any idea other than the, you know, political leanings of this group when it was back in Honduras? Do we have any idea just the logistics? Who is behind this and what we're prepared to do?
Sure. I've had the opportunity to speak with both the Secretary of Homeland Security as well as the President about this. And I can tell you what I can tell you publicly. And that is, if you think these are people who are leaving Honduras or Guatemala or wherever they're coming from, just trying to escape violence and come seek asylum, that is incorrect. This is very well organized. It's funded.
Has to be.
There are others who are behind us. And very importantly, in this caravan are not just people from Honduras and Guatemala. We know that some of the leaders of it are involved in MS-13. We know that some of the people in it are from countries across the entire globe. There are what we use in the lingo SIAs, which are special interest aliens who pose a very real dangerous threat to the security of the United States of America, who were embedded in these caravans.
Right. Univision just reported this morning that there were people with terrorist ties from Malaysia involved and embedded in this.
And I've heard the same thing with regard to terrorists coming from countries other than Malaysia. And think about this. If these people really were trying to escape a horrific life from whatever country they're coming from, why is it that they are marching with the flag of the country that they are coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are not coming to the United States of America to make the United States of America a better place. They're not coming to the United States to escape and seek asylum from the dangers they have. In fact, there were multiple reports on TV last night, any channel would have shown it, of the interviews of these people in the caravan, and they were talking about what's their strategy when they get to the U.S., and they said it's very simple, and that is our numbers far overwhelm the United States' ability to go through the asylum process for all these people. So they have been taught and know already that their strategy is to basically rush the gates so much that the U.S. loses control. Let me tell you something. If we lose control of our border, if we lose control of our sovereignty, we are no longer a sovereign nation, and we must step up and use every tool that we can to make sure that we put an end not to this caravan, because understand this, Glenn, also, and that is this may be 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 people, but if they make it in, right behind them mm-hmm. will be a caravan of 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. Right behind them will be a caravan of 50,000 people, and the United States of America as we know it will be forever altered if we don't do something to stop this.
You know the press is going to treat us like the Israelis and the caravan like the Palestinians. Is the president leaning on the president of Mexico and threatening to cut off all? This is the time to really lean hard and say, this is not our problem. Turn them around or we'll cut off all aid with Mexico. Is there a chance of this?
Well, the president has been outspoken about cutting off aid to Honduras and Guatemala. Right now, the United States is working collaboratively, and this may be hard to believe, so I want to emphasize it. The U.S. is working collaboratively with Mexico. Mexico has made a decision that they have not made in the past. Mexico is working with the United Nations to try to work on temporary settlement of these caravan members in Mexico.
Oh my gosh.
Mexico is actually playing a very beneficial role in this whole process with us right now. And we applaud Mexico for what they are doing, at least as of this moment in time.
Are they headed towards Texas? No invasion plans of the United States with the former Soviet Union ever included Texas, because they knew Texans would not take kindly to the invasion force. Are they headed towards Texas or California?
I will tell you what was reported publicly last night, and I will not dispute it. And that is early on, before yesterday, there was great concern that they were headed for Texas. And it was reported last night that they are headed toward California. Now, that makes sense because, as you know, California is a sanctuary state.
Yeah.
And they would welcome this caravan and 10 more caravans like it. And these caravan members and the leaders of this caravan, they understand one thing, and that is if they try to breach the gates in Texas, we're not going to tolerate it, and we're going to be very protective of our sovereignty here. And so I can't tell you for certainty right now where they are going. I can tell you what was said and what makes sense, and that is they may be headed to California.
Last question.
But still, the same is, you know, once they're in the United States, they're in the United States.
Right.
And once they're here, they can migrate anywhere.
Right. Your campaign is going really well. You're a great governor, and I don't think your election is going to be in jeopardy at all. How is Ted Cruz? How is Ken Paxton? How is Dan Patrick?
Well, listen, all these races are closer than what people realize, and is because we need to understand that the liberals or socialists, whatever you want to call them these days, they've galvanized their forces and they're turning out their vote early. And so it's too hard to tell right now. And because they are so close, I am going across the entire state of Texas, campaigning every single day in multiple cities to help Republicans up and down the ballot to make sure that we are going to have policies that are antagonistic to open borders, to make sure we have policies that cut your taxes, that cut your regulations, that improve our schools. And so it's very important that people turn out, they vote. Your listeners have a lot at stake in their own personal lives based upon what's going to happen in this election. And every vote is going to matter because the voter turnout is at skyrocket levels right now. And if you're listening and you have not voted, you need to go vote because your future is at stake. But today, for example, when we hang up, I'm headed to Belton to go campaign for some people there. I'm going to be in Dallas County later on today. I'm going to be in Denton County later on in the week, and then Tarrant County. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time in North Texas and in South Texas, East Texas, and West Texas to make sure that we win these elections from the top of the ballot to the bottom of the ballot.
Greg, always good to talk to you. Thank you, Governor. I appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
We should talk about my home being stolen. Your home was stolen as well.
Well, mine almost. Was. Yeah, mine was stolen just to show you how easy it is to steal.
Yeah,
and I've taken steps through security and everything else to make my home even more impenetrable. And they said, now in today's world, that actually has made it worse. What?
Which of course, right?
Yeah.
Once you take all these steps, then it makes it worse. Home Title Lock are the people who did this because they wanted to show us how easy it was. And it's just a couple of forms that you file with local government and a fake notary stamp. And all of a sudden, someone's got control of your mortgage. They can take out
your house.
Massive loans against it. And then you're the one stuck with a bill. It's a disaster. Do what we did. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure your home is protected and make sure it hasn't already happened to you. They have a free check for you. It's a $100 value you can get when you sign up for HomeTitleLock.com.
Do it.
It's HomeTitleLock.com. Check it out now. HomeTitleLock.com.
We have an Islamic cleric now who's come out and explained what's really going on. And can we play that audio, please, Sarah?
And don't forget that there are other creations besides men.
Besides men.
There are men who are going to look at you. But at the same time, a jinn may fall in love with you. Mm-hmm. And this is something very, very common. I had a case where a jinn had possessed a sister. She was waiting at the bus stop and the jinn fell in love with her. Mm-hmm. She was walking through a park and the jinn followed her. She was waiting at the bus stop and the jinn fell in love with her. And it actually possessed her. Mm-hmm. And when they fall in love, they're very, very difficult to remove because their love is like almost a blind type of love. It's like, I would rather die than leave this individual.
Love is like oxygen. That's what's happening here. That's the jinn problem. So,
jinn is...
Jinn, you know, like a genie.
A genie.
Yeah.
So if you don't wear your...
Headscarf. Yeah.
A genie will fall in love with you and you can't get it out of your body?
Well, what happens is if you don't have a cloth device, as he described it, a cloth device covering your head, the jinn can go right through your skull and just live in your brain.
So, but it can't get through cloth?
No. No, of course not. No. He's recommending that women, you don't have to worry just about men.
you got to cover yourself because gins are out there. And I don't know about you, but the gin problem at my house has been a problem for a long time.
You almost never wear a headscarf.
Well, no, it's for ladies only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for ladies only.
So,
but Tanya doesn't wear a headscarf. And I come home, I'm tired, I've worked a hard day, and I get home and I'm like, has a gin fallen in love with you today? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, you know what? I can send. And then I have to get the gin out of her. And then I do not do this at home. Please put it in a glass bottle. Not only a plastic bad for the environment, but also they burn right through those things.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this isn't an opportunity to control one of the two genders with.
No.
It's not.
This is all about gins and genies. This is a real, gins, genies, ghouls.
Ghouls can do this
ghouls
too.
Ghouls can do this too. Yeah, ghouls are really, really dangerous. They're very clever.
So ghouls might come through the head and fall in love with you.
Well, genies will. Jins will fall in love with you.
What do genies and ghouls do?
Well, genies, I'm not really sure what a genie does.
I thought they just granted wishes. Are they evil characters?
I don't know. I don't. If I ever see like a teapot, I don't rub it to have the genie come out. Which is strange because why he's trapped when there's an opening right there in the, you know, in the lantern. There's an opening right there.
Right. And I think I would make the same point with the cloth device. First of all, cloth does not seem difficult to penetrate. But secondly, there is an opening for the eyes. I mean, the genie could just go right through there to get into the head of the person, right?
No, they don't.
I mean, just from a pragmatic perspective, you just go right through there. It's open.
As long as you're
time.
Wearing gloves, a full body, you know, covering. And then your head is wrapped, and you just have the eyes. Now, your eyes can be used to lure a man. Even just if the eyes, if you look at a man just right, you can say, you know, it's not like, you know, look how they're dressed. It's look how they were looking at me, Your Honor. And so you can, you can be bewitched, if you will, by a woman's eyes.
I think even in this enlightened Me Too era, we can all come together and say, if a woman looks at you, you know, what are you going to do? Right?
Exactly right.
I mean, you know,
exactly
it's,
right.
This is
especially if she's been possessed by a djinn.
This is the thing. We were talking about this off the air a little bit because, you know, Donald Trump used the word nationalist yesterday. We were talking about nationalism. And in the definition of nationalism, and its history is at times very disturbing, right? However, I don't know. I'm sure that's not, obviously no one is citing the really bad examples of nationalism as where we're trying to go. If you're Donald Trump, you're not saying, oh, we want to be like those terrible countries. He seems to be referring to it as like, look, we're the best country and we should be
proud. We're patriotic.
And we have the best, you know, culture and and we should be, patriotic and be,
sure,
excited about that. But when you talk like this, though, when you play a clip like that, it's hard to kind of argue that we don't have a superior culture in a lot of ways. You know, I kind of feel
that's
like,
you're only saying that because you've probably been possessed by a djinn or a ghoul.
This is the djinn talking. And now it's a different kind of djinn.
That's right.
It came with tonic.
Because I've had a lot of djinn talk before in my life.
I gotta say,
and it's trouble.
Yeah,
it's trouble.
It can get you into trouble.
Leave it in the bottle.
As a man
who did
60 shots of beer on a program recently, live on the air, it can be an issue. But I think I'm okay saying that a culture that embraces women as equals is superior to a culture that puts them, won't let them drive, and forces them to dress a specific way that you can't even see their face. Like that. They may have great things in the culture, but
those are all just social constructs.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
If you've been listening to this program for any period of time, or you've been paying attention to what social media is doing, you are concerned about being deplatformed or having voices that you follow deplatformed or even shadow banned. Shadow ban is even a little more insidious. It's when a, for instance, glennbeck.com, we've asked you to sign up and follow us on Facebook. So you do. Then the Google algorithm or the Facebook algorithm decides, yeah, but you really don't want that. And they start to shadow ban. And all of a sudden, they're filtering all of the stuff out that you said you wanted to follow, but they're doing it for political reasons. It is a real danger to freedom of speech, and what we're going to do about it is kind of up in the air right now. But there is a guy who has been working on this. His name is Matt Whitworth. He's been here before. He was a senior advisor for various congressional and gubernatorial candidates. He's the guy who helped put Dave Brat in office, the primary victory over Eric Cantor. He's done a great documentary series called The Swamp. Now he is working on something called theupdate.com. Welcome.
Hey, great to be here. What's even worse about the algorithms mm-hmm. is you don't know what's taking place.
Correct.
That's what's really scary.
I've been saying, calling it a digital ghetto. It's a digital ghettoization. The Nazis, they didn't make those people disappear right away. They just put them in a ghetto and then built a wall around them. They had the freedom of speech to say whatever they wanted around, you know, behind that wall, but no one heard them.
Yeah, well, you were on the front lines of this really in the very beginning because it was this slow drip, right? There was a couple of insiders who worked for these tech companies who came out and said, we're doing this. But the first big story was the Facebook trending column on mm-hmm. the side where the employees came out and said, we're suppressing conservative articles. We're mm-hmm. suppressing articles from the Blaze. And I know you went and met with Zuckerberg, as did a lot of other conservative media publishers. But since then, it's just gotten even worse.
Zuckerberg, I'm still convinced that it doesn't take a coordinated effort in these places. It just takes a few well-placed engineers that have an axe to grind, and they're just changing a little algorithm here, a little algorithm here, based on what they feel. Doesn't have to. It could be a universal dictate, but it doesn't have to be.
No, it was the one Twitter employee who took down the president's account
yeah.
on her way out the door for right. 30 minutes. I mean, that's how simple it is. But then you compound all of this with, you know, 95% of the political donations coming from Google and Facebook are going to Democratic candidates.
They're, it's toxic. It's absolutely toxic, that environment there.
It is. And you just don't know with what you're seeing. If you go to YouTube and you type in Glenn Beck or you type in Donald Trump, are you seeing the content that you want to see, or are you seeing mm-hmm. content that they want you to see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big issue. So what we wanted to do with the app is figure out a way that we can aggregate this great conservative video content into one place. And really, it's working with publishers to say, hey, let us take, you know, your video content from your YouTube page or from your Facebook page and aggregate it into one place. And really, let's band together mm-hmm. so that when The Blaze promotes something, PragerU and Conservative Review and Breitbart benefits. And likewise, when they share something, you guys benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, the app is it's going to come out later this week on Google Play and the App Store. But it's a 21st century version of Drudge Report. It is for conservative video content that's out there that's being pushed to the side and hidden by these tech companies.
Mm-hmm. What platform are you keeping it all on? You're going to Google Play. I mean, you're going right into the hands of the beast. What are you doing to ensure that they aren't screwing with you and gathering information on everybody else?
Well, what we were trying to do, because I've heard a lot of people on our side say we need a conservative Facebook or we need a conservative Twitter.
Yeah.
So what we were trying to do is find a realistic workaround to the algorithm problem that's going on with suppressing mm-hmm. conservative content. So we said, you know, if we can find all these great conservative publishers and say, hey, here's what we want to do, we can all benefit from this by sharing content into one place on the video side. Everyone can benefit. So yeah, we will be at the mercy of Google Play and the Apple Store.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is sort of the first step to be able to counter that suppression from YouTube and Facebook.
So who do you have on board so far?
So we have Conservative Review. We've talked to Breitbart. We had a great meeting with PragerU last week. They're on board. obviously the Blaze. I hope you guys come aboard as well.
This is the first time hearing of it, but I can't imagine we're not.
Yeah. So, and what we're really doing is, you know, we're pulling the content from your Facebook page and from your YouTube. So the Blaze channel benefits because the view counts go back to you guys. And the other thing that we want to do in this, we're already starting to be introduced to other people. So we have these great young conservative filmmakers who put out amazing video content and no one sees it on YouTube or Facebook. So we said, hey, we'll be the platform for that. You go out and produce it, and we'll work with our team and our network to make sure that you know, half the country that wants to see this content can actually see your content.
So what do you think, because I've done a lot of thinking on this, first of all, congratulations.
Thanks.
It is, this is something that I have wanted to do for about 8 years, and I think conservatives are just now starting to say, hey, wait a minute, what was that idea about coming together? because they're starting to see the writing on the wall in many different directions. So congratulations on doing that. I fully support anybody who is trying to bring everybody together and protecting voices. What do you say to the objection that I have in my mind when people say, we need a conservative Facebook? No, we don't, because that just puts us in another bubble.
Right.
You know what I mean? We need to be able, if it's known as a conservative thing, only conservatives are going to go there. So how have you wrestled with that in your mind?
So I think the first kickoff for that was the Facebook documentary series that I did with the Swamp. So we had six members of the House Freedom Caucus, and we followed them around the Capitol, and we talked about the big issues plaguing D.C. We had liberal and progressive groups sharing that Facebook series. So Tim Canova, who ran against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, this is a Bernie Sanders acolyte, shared the Swamp episodes and said, I encourage all of my followers to see this. And we did it in a way where we didn't put, you know, Republican or conservative next to these guys' name. It was all about the content. And that's what a lot of these younger conservative filmmakers are doing. They're libertarian leaning, you know, they're conservative leaning. It's more about, hey, let's fix some of the big fundamental issues going on, and then we can get into, you know, some of the more policy debates. So I think that kind of content, and then just presenting it in a really sleek mobile application, makes it easy for people to interact with the content.
Have you seen what's happening in Brazil with the young libertarians? You know, they are looking at America going, I mean, we can't sell that. We can't sell the libertarian. It's too stodgy and too old, and, you know, all this freedom talk that they're doing is not not appealing to the youth. And they are making huge gains and headway because, you know, they're 20-somethings that have who are naturally attracted to freedom and said, well, there's a better way to package this. I think that's great. And anything you're doing to encourage, you know, 20-somethings to do that, I think is, it's time they take charge.
Yeah, I think so. Future. I think, you know, having the big conservative publishers on board and us banding together, you know, with this program, we're going to find a lot of talented people out there who are, you know, frustrated, who are amazing videographers and filmmakers who can go out there and shoot this content and let them be the bridge to reach the next conservative or libertarian generation.
So you're the update.com. Let me switch topics with you because, you know, you have consulted with candidates, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think is coming our way? Two places. First, blue wave, red wave, no wave.
You might as well flip a coin. So I live, it's funny, I live three blocks behind the Capitol in D.C. So I describe myself as being a spy behind enemy lines because D.C. is 94% Democrat. So, you know, I talk to a lot of guys both sides of the aisle in D.C., and you might as well flip a coin. I mean, there's Freedom Caucus guys who say, Republicans hold the House but it's only by a couple of seats. There's more people who have said, oh, it's, you know, it's going to be Democrats by a few seats. I really don't know. I think what they are doing with the election is the media is getting so excited looking at this big national view. But when you break down these individual races, they're going to be far more competitive than what the media is saying.
It's always about local.
It is.
The Kavanaugh thing coupled with Cortez coming out and saying, you know, capitalism's not going to be around forever. The democratic socialist, the surrounding people while they're eating and shouting them down. have the, do you think the Democrats, different than the leftists, do you think the Democrats are waking up to, holy cow, who's in our bed?
Yeah, I was telling somebody earlier this week, the RNC just needs to put out a video of all the people clawing at the door of the Supreme Court. Yeah. There is a big divide, I think, between like the old school, you know, Democrats. All my parents voted Democrat.
Correct.
I can, you know, continue to vote Democrat. Then what's going on in D.C. and people like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. I mean, these are radical leftists. When I was filming with the Swamp out in Iowa, I was in Rod Blum's district. And these are, we went to a machine shop. These are lifelong, you know, Democrats. A lot of them switched over to vote for President Trump. But I'm talking to them and they go, well, you know, I still, you know, identify as a Democrat voter. So I just rattle off a couple of issues and I'm like, dude, I hate to break it to you, man. You're no longer right. in this Democratic Party.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But 2 weeks away.
How do you think the president and the Republicans should respond to this caravan coming up?
Stop it. I mean, I think the president's made it clear we're either a country of laws or not. And, you know, the ruse that they're using that this is, it's amazing how well the left uses terminology to try to convey people to their side, because now they're asylum seekers. You know, they're asylum seekers. Well, if they're asylum seekers, you apply for asylum in the first country that you arrive to, mm-hmm. which would be Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it's not about that. It's about getting to the United States. It's about sending money back to their country.
I don't even know if it's about that. These guys are Marxist that are upset at politicians in Honduras that kicked their Marxist guy out, who had ties to Venezuela and to Castro in Cuba. They've been trying to do all kinds of stunting in Honduras. They're carrying the Honduran flag. These guys are Marxist radicals, at least the leadership is.
I would have to imagine that if I was in their situation, if I was legitimately a refugee and I got to Mexico and Mexico was willing to hear my case or process me, I would wait in line for as long as it took to help, mm-hmm. you know, myself or my family. Mm-hmm. For them to just break down the barricades and charge the police officers in Mexico and say, guys, you can't stop us. We're going all the way to the United States. And, right, you know, singing the Honduras national anthem. Yeah, this is about politics and who's funding them. Yeah, it's a great issue. But the president should stand strong and stop it if they make it that far.
All right. The name of the app, it's launching when? This week?
Yeah, launching this week. So you can go to theupdate.com, give us the email address, and we'll send you early access into this week when it hits both the Apple Store and Google Play.
Great. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right. It's theupdate.com.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.